Now let's go back to our text. And I plead for your attention. And I plead for your indulgence and careful consideration of some of the things I'm going to say this morning. The first of which is this: our Lord is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. If there's a man in this congregation today who's 75 or 80 years of age, and God has opened your heart, burdened you with your guilt, and brought you to see your need of Christ Jesus, you seek the Lord. Lay hold upon the Redeemer. If there's a woman here who's 65, 70, 75 years of age, you've never heard the true gospel of God's grace. I'm not talking about heaven on my mind. I woke up this morning with heaven on my mind. I'm talking about the gospel of God's grace. God's mercy to you as a sinner. God's brought you low and stripped you and emptied you and shut your mouth and given you a hunger for Christ, a desire for Christ, to know Him. I say unto you, seek the Lord. Lay hold upon the Redeemer. Our Lord, His arm's not short that it cannot save. His ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. Whether it's a feeble, frail cry of an old person or the strong cry of a young person, our Lord's able to save young and old, male and female, learned and ignorant. All men of any age ought to seek the Lord. They ought to. They ought to. All men of all age, all women of all ages ought to trust the Redeemer. They ought to receive Him. But I'm not talking this morning about things that ought to be. I'm talking about things as they are. And usually I find this to be true, and the scripture that I've chosen as my text will bear me up. I usually find that men who live a lifetime without God usually die without God. That's just so. Men and women who live a lifetime without God, without love for Christ, without love for the Word, usually die that way. I've been to a lot of rest homes, but I've never in 34 years of preaching ever seen a revival in a rest home. Never have. Have you? I never have. Oh, I've seen them get religious. Oh, yes, sir. Like this dear old lady that came in the room the other day. And said, we had such a good service. The man talked about the Lord. I just love to hear folks talk about the Lord. They're awful religious. Nearly all old people are religious. They're religious, but without understanding. And what I find is this. They'll say amen to about anything you say. I got a letter from a dear old lady yesterday who's been listening to me for a while. And this, I want you to listen to this comment. And I sympathize. My heart bleeds. But that's the reason I'm trying to preach to some of you who have not reached this state. She said in the letter, I watch you on television, and I watch the Church of Christ preacher, and y'all are saying exactly the same thing. Now, you know that's not so. To her, it sounds like the same thing. Because she doesn't have the capacity to separate it, to divide it, to rightly divide the Word of truth. She doesn't have the faculties, the understanding. There was a dear lady up in Ohio who passed away, and she divided her estate four ways. I want you to listen to this. She divided her estate. When the TV came on Sunday morning, she turned it on, she watched the Church of Christ, Jimmy Swaggart, E.J. Daniels, and me. And when she died, she made out a will and left it to those four fellas, equally divided. It didn't work out that way. They gave it over to her mother, who was sick and in a rest home. She needed it worse than me or Jimmy Swaggart, either one. But I want you to think about that. Now, that's an elderly person who cannot divide, who cannot separate the Church of Christ and the Church and the gospel of grace. who can see no difference in what Jimmy Swaggart is saying, what I'm trying to say. There's usually no revivals in rest homes. There's no conviction in convalescent centers. And there's no seeking of the Lord in sanatoriums. I've never found it to be true. Old men and old women, usually, I'm saying usually, we've got some here this morning that are bright as the sun. They're sharp-witted. Well, I'm saying to you, you better seek the Lord before these days come. You better lay hold upon Christ. But old people who have ignored the grace of God usually manifest no interest in it towards the end. They're interested in religion, and they're interested in heaven, and they're interested in getting over their problems, and they're interested in meeting mother, but they're not interested in the gospel of Christ. Redeeming grace, saving grace, cleansing power, atoning blood, justice being satisfied, the law being honored, Christ being honored. They can't take hold of those things. The Church of Christ preacher and I say Jesus, and that's all she hears. We say salvation, and that's all she hears. We say heaven. We say don't go to hell, and that's all she hears. But they don't hear conviction of sin, stripped by the holy law of God, laid bare by the statutes of God, emptied of self, seeking mercy from the hand of God, an atonement that satisfies, a redemption that redeems, a salvation that saves, being made a new creature in Christ, yearning and panting after holiness, worshiping the Lord. Just can't lay hold on this thing. Justification, sanctification, righteousness imputed. Now let's look at the text and follow it carefully. First of all, there's a warning. Call it one of three things. Call it a warning, call it an admonition, or call it a command. But the Word of God says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, the Creator here is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. And the Trinity is the very foundation of our redemption. That's right, the Trinity. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, no man can know the Father but by the Son. And no man can know the Son except the Holy Spirit reveal Him. He shall take the things of mine and show them to you. The Father chose us, decreed our redemption. The Son purchased us, redeemed us by His blood, and the Holy Spirit quickens us. A man who ridicules and makes fun of the Trinity does not know God, does not have the Holy Spirit, does not know the Scriptures, and probably is not saved. That's so. Now remember now thy Creator. Malachi says, have we not one Father? One Father? Hath not one God created us? One Father. Isaiah said, thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, is thy Maker. Christ made us. Christ. All things were created by our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him was not anything made that was made. All right, Job said, the Spirit of God hath made me, the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We have one Father. Have we not one Father? Hath not one God created us? Thy Redeemer is thy Maker. And the Holy Spirit of God hath made me and given me the breath of life. There's no conflict in the Trinity. There's no conflict for power or glory. There is one God, the Lord our God, one God. But He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are to remember. Now, what does the word remember mean? This is important. Can I have your attention? Remember. Remember. Remember now, right now, in the days of your youth, your Creator. Now, the word remember implies a whole lot more than just calling something to mind. I remember. I ate dinner the other day with a man who flies for American Airlines. and down in Tennessee. And I said, where'd you learn to fly? He said, World War II, Army Air Force. I said, I remember that we took the 7th or the 5th Air Force from the Philippines to Okinawa. You weren't in that gang. He said, I was in the 5th Air Force. I remember. We said, that's just calling something to mind. I haven't thought of that for 35 years. It just, but now this remember is a whole lot more than that. Remember, it's in this vein. Listen to this. The Lord's, when our Lord gave the disciples the Lord's table, he took the bread and the wine. He says, this do in remembrance of me. That's a whole lot more than just calling to mind once in a while or occasion an event that took place. Our Lord is saying this, set your heart on me. Think on me. Consider me. Remember me. All right, let me tell you something else. I'll show you another example. The thief on the cross hanging there, dying, turned to the Lord Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You reckon that he was just saying that when you get to your kingdom, would you just call to mind, say there was a thief down there that, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, Lord, set your heart on me. When you come into your kingdom, consider me. Lord God, I pray that you'll think upon me. And I'll tell you something else. That rich man in hell, Abraham said, son, remember! Well, he wasn't saying, if it's convenient, someday you might just call to mind what happened on it. No, sir, it'll live with you forever. And this is what he's saying here. You young people, you middle-aged people, you're still young. I'm still young. I still got my faculties, most of them. Jay won't agree with that, but I got most of them. But we're still young. You remember, you think upon Christ. You consider Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You set your affections on Him all the time. You remember your Creator. Remember. What about him? Well, remember this. Remember that he is God. That he is God, in glorious in all his attributes. Holy, righteous, sovereign, love, gracious, truth, just, he is. Remember that. Think on that. Set your affections on that. Consider that. Remember that he hath made us and not we ourselves. Remember the purpose for which he made me. To glorify him. Can you think about that? You remember that. Remember that we're made from dust. This ought to stay with you all the time. And we're going back to that same dust. Remember that. Think on it. Remember that he has been gracious to purpose in his heart to redeem us. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that God in his grace and mercy did not leave us like he did the angels who fell. But he purposed to redeem us. I'm so glad. God has not forgotten to be merciful. That he purposed to redeem a people. Remember that he left heaven's glory and came to this earth, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and went to the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. Remember that. Think on it. Consider it. Sit about and rejoice in it. Read about it. Go hear people preach about it. Hear Mike and Jack and these others sing about it. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the riches of His Word. Each day at Calvary, what a thrill. What a thrill of love divine. Just to think. Just to remember. The Savior's mind. Remember that His grace is to all that call upon Him. Remember that there's a life to live. There's a death to die. There's a judgment to face. There's an eternity to spend. Remember. That word, it's a whole lot more than ever Easter. Put on your glad rags and buy your corsage and run down to the church and let folks see you in your new bonnet. That's not what it's talking about. It's not just to remember about every Christmas that somebody named Jesus was born into the world. It's not just to remember once a week on the what we call the Sabbath day. to go to the house of God. It's to consider. It's to think upon. It's to dwell upon. It's to remember every waking moment that every bite I take's by His grace. Every breath I breathe is by His grace. Every step I walk is by His power. Every moment I live is by His grace. And if I have a heaven and an inheritance reserved for me, that's through the love of His beloved Son. And when are you supposed to do this? In the days of your youth. That's when. I'll give you three reasons for that. Number one, these are the best days, the choicest days, in which to serve Him, in which to love Him, in which to seek Him. Him who, watch it now, Him who claims the first fruits deserves the first years. The Lord God who claims the firstborn deserves the choicest years. He doesn't deserve my leavings. For me to give 50 or 60 years to myself and to this world and to the flesh, and then come bearing on a platter these leavings to God. I want the first fruits. When you go out and reap your field, when you cut down the juiciest corn, that first fruit, that's His. That's what He said, man. The wheat. I don't want that you reap. That those beans you get down there in October when they got more spots on them than they got beans in them. I want the juiciest. I want the sweetest. I want the first fruits. That's what He says in the Old Testament. Read your Bible. The firstling of the flock. The first calf that cow drops, that's mine, God said. And that's what He's saying here. In the days of your youth. Religion's for old women and somebody else, somebody said one time. That's where you're dead wrong, boy. Our God says the firstborn, the first fruits. That's right. That's right. The firstling of the flock. Isn't that right, Charlie? You read the Old Testament. First, you remember God in your youth. That's the first reason. Second reason is this. These are days when your mind is clear. That's right. When the power and faculties of the soul are capable of being enlarged, capable of being improved, capable of laying hold upon the mysteries of God. I tell you, I know the idea is that this Bible is and the gospel and the things of God is something that a fellow just in passing picks up.
One of these days you're going to find out different. You're going to find out that the gospel is the most profound thing God ever presented to this world. The most complex, mysterious, impossible to understand apart from divine revelation. I promise you that. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry and every jackleg thinks he's a master on the Bible. You got a revelation coming to you someday that's going to shock you. You didn't know anything. You'll find that out. And the fellow thinks he knows anything, doesn't know anything like he ought to know it. We're not sufficient to think anything of ourselves. I see proud, arrogant people sitting around measuring a preacher's message by their little thimble of theology, and I want to throw up. Boy, I tell you, we need the diligence to make your calling and election sure. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Study to show thyself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, teach me and I'll be taught. Open this thick, dull, darkened mind of mine and shine some light in it. Open this heart of mine and give me some illumination. God, help me, I'm stupid. That's right. I am. And we need to seek the Lord when we have the powers and faculty of mind to lay hold upon mysteries that are beyond human understanding. A sharp mind. And these, I tell you the third reason why in the days of our youth, these are days that we have. I have today. I don't have tomorrow, Bill. I have today. Everybody doesn't have an old age, but everybody's got a youth. Everybody's anybody. Everybody's somebody. Everybody's got a human body. Got youth, but we don't all grow. My brother didn't grow. He died at 48. My son didn't grow. He died at 21. But you have youth. You don't have tomorrow. He said, don't you boast of tomorrow. No man can be sure that there's going to be any old age. Well, when I get old and gray, you may not, Bob. Who said God owed you anything? Who said you was going to get old and gray? But you do have today. And the Bible says now is accepted time. Isn't that what it says? Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Now, right now, is accepted time. Let's read on. Remember, set your heart upon, consider, think. Now, thy Creator, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in the days of thy youth, in the days of the dew of the morning, in the day of the sharpness of the mind, in the day when God deserves to be remembered, Joe. And when He deserves to be remembered. While the evil days come not. Now, let me tell you something. These are called evil days not because any more evil than any other days, but perhaps because of the infirmities and afflictions and sufferings that go with these days. But because certainly life in these days becomes uncomfortable and troublesome. And because these are evil days if we do not know Christ, because the possibility of our knowing Him is very slim. Now, if you are, let me say this. There's some men here in their late years, and they've loved Christ for a long time. There's some women here who love Christ for a long time. And you really don't regard old age as evil days, do you? Because you've got so much to rejoice in. You have, haven't you? You've got so much to rejoice in. You rejoice in Christ. You rejoice in the gospel. You rejoice. But let me tell you something. You're not rejoicing over particularly what you're learning today. You're rejoicing over what God taught you back there. That's right. You're rejoicing over... If it was shut up to you learning it all today, you know what you'd do? You'd throw up your hands. That's right. Let me show you that. Turn to 1 Samuel. I believe it's 2 Samuel, chapter 19. Now listen to this. 2 Samuel 19. David, you know, I'm not going to tell this whole story. I'd have to preach another sermon. But David had come back from exile. And this man, in 2 Samuel 19, 33, Barzillai, this man had been true to David, loved him. He was 80 years old. You with me? 2 Samuel 19, 33. And the king wanted him to come over Jordan. The king wanted him to enter into the palace with him, to rule with him, to not rule, you know, as a king or anything, but just to enjoy his presence. And the king said, Barzillai, verse 33, 2 Samuel 19, come thou over with me. I'll feed you with me in Jerusalem. Sit at my table. And Barzillai said to the king, how long do I have to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I'm this day 80 years old, King David. Can I discern between good and evil? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the singing, the voice of singing men and women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto the Lord my King? No, I'll stay here. I'll go on back and die with my people. Take a young man with you, King. Now let me say something to you. Listen to me. If you're already with the King, by His grace in these young years, you come to a knowledge of Him and the love for Him. Old age, evil days, when the youth is gone, you're going to have some memories, some reminiscence, some precious memories, some feasting on Christ. But brother, if you haven't up till this time known Him, let me show you something. Now look at verse 2. You remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while these evil days don't come upon you. Verse 2, while the sun, the light, the moon, the stars, that's the mind, the understanding, the judgment, the faculties be not darkened. Verse 3, the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. That's the arms. The arms begin to tremble. They used to be strong, used to do for you, and now somebody else has to do for you. They're trembling. And the strong men, the legs, shall bow themselves, and the grinders, the teeth, cease because they're few. You can't eat the things you used to eat. You can't chew that beef and corn on the cob and things like that. And they that look out of the windows be darkened. The eyes are getting dim. You don't see as well. And the doors shall be shut in the streets. That's the lips. An older person doesn't have as much to say. He's got a tightly, thinly drawn mouth. His mouth is closed. The sound of the grinding is low. He rises up at the voice of a bird. He's awake early in the morning. All the daughters of music shall be brought low. He can't sing like he used to. One of these days, that clear cut, melodious voice of Mike's will be you. Well, it won't be pretty like it is now. That's right. That's what they're singing while you can. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, terror of high places, fears in the way, the almond tree shall flourish. Almond tree in the spring is snow white. That's white hair. The grasshopper will be a wearisome burden. Desire shall fail. You just don't have that burning passion of youth. And what's happening? Man's going to his long home. And the mourners go about the streets, and the silver cord is loose. That's the bond between the soul and the body. The golden bowl is broken, the brain, the pitcher is broken at the fountain, the heart. Then shall the dust return to the earth. Brethren, these days can be days of joy. I'm looking for them to be. And for some of you, they are. Some of you older folks, they're days of joy. Why? Because you have a refuge in Christ. You have a resting place in Christ. Back in your early days, you laid hold upon Christ. But now you bring a person into this congregation who hasn't heard the gospel in this condition, and he doesn't know what I'm saying, Joe. He just doesn't know. There's no pleasure in the flesh. Look at this word in verse 1. When you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. I have no pleasure. You got no pleasure in the flesh? That's right. That's gone. You've got no pleasure in your fields and gardens? I never will forget the year before my father died. He always had a garden. Loved his garden. Loved his yard. He kept this churchyard out here immaculately trimmed. His last year, he didn't even want a garden. Lost interest. Just didn't have any interest in the garden. There's no pleasure in nations and men. I hear men and I'm for voting and all these things, but I'm telling you, one of these days you won't run and grab that newspaper and pour over all the things that capitalists and communists and Confucius and everything else are doing. That's right. It just won't matter to you. That man who's lying there dying or in old age sitting in the rest home, you know, looking at his hand, what does he care whether communists or capitalists, either one are in Washington? The thing that ought to be concerning him is whether his name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But see, he never thought about that. He never considered that. He was more interested in the government. He was more interested in the John Birch Society. He's more interested in the Republicans or Democrats. He spent his whole youth interested in that stuff. And now he's ready to meet God. And he hasn't got the faculties to lay hold upon the things of God. I don't have any pleasure in nations and rulers. I don't have it. Like the old lady said, well, who is the president? It didn't make any difference to her. I tell you, the only pleasure, now listen to me, like somebody said, it ain't like it ought to be, it's like it is I'm talking about. Like somebody's always saying, where the rubber hits the road, that's where I am this morning. I'm talking about this. If you're going to do any seeking of the Lord, you better do it while you can. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. While you can think. Give that old man a Bible to read and, well, he's not really interested. Give him a tape to listen to. Hand him a tape and say, listen, my pastor teaches on the truth of justification and the means of sanctification. He said, honey, I can't keep still that long. I'm not interested.
Get him to come to the house of God and worship. Well, he'll go to a funeral, or he'll go to a potluck supper, or he'll go to some other kind of celebration, but he's not going to a Bible study. That's right. I have no pleasure in him. I have no pleasure. So, warning, admonition, or command. Take it like you will. But there'll be a day when you'll say, thank God that that preacher, in God's grace and mercy, told me the truth that Sunday morning, 1981. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because the evil days are coming. They're coming. They're slipping up slowly. And you know what? Wake up one morning, they're going to be here. You're going to wake up one morning, Jay, and be an old man. You're going to wake up one morning. That's right, Bill. You don't believe that now, but that's true. And be an old man. Just suddenly. And you won't have the capacity to lay hold upon anything here. Now, like I'm telling you, they're all religious. I never met an old person that wasn't religious. I never met an old person in a rest home or convalescent center or sanatorium didn't expect to go to heaven. But I can ask them, what is the foundation of your hope? And they don't even know. They don't even know. Remember now. Our Father in heaven, Lord, if anything's to be done for us, any mercy, any truth, any grace to be shed abroad in these hearts of ours, it'll have to be by thy power. Because we're going to go like the old creek following the line of least resistance. We're going to be like the tree that just bends with any wind that blows. We're going to be like the foolish man that considers a bird in the hands worth any kind of promise. Lord, stop us like you did Saul of Tarsus. Arrest us. Strip us. Bring us low. Put us in the dust. Turn our eyes to look upon the Son of Righteousness. Right now, these young people, do a mighty work of grace in every heart. These mothers and dads, it's not too late for some of us. For some it is. They just can't comprehend. Lord God, we thank you for the happy, blessed truth that many of our folks have found Christ in early days. And they're resting, quietly resting. And as I preached this morning, they could say, thank you, Lord. You didn't leave me to myself. Thank you, Lord, that while I could think, you gave me Christ to think upon. While I could put things together, you put them together in my heart by your Spirit. You enabled me to lay hold upon your word. But Lord, these young people, do something for them. Life is Christ. To have Christ is to have life. To have not Christ is to have not life. Speak to us through this day, we pray, in the name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.